Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Monday, June the 1st, 2020. I'm Steven Jensen. Sorry this is coming a day late for everybody. I normally record the Weekender on Sundays, but yesterday, Sean Ross Sapp, of course, here from Fightful.com, as well as my friend Kayla, a.k.a. the Sheenom, and Alex, a.k.a. Queen of the Ring, they were doing a Twitch live stream yesterday at the same time that I was planning to record the Weekender. And I basically hit up Sean and I said, hey man, I'm really enjoying watching this stream and I want to keep supporting what you guys are doing. And he was like, yeah, no problem, just record the show tomorrow. So that's why it's coming a day late, but I figured given the circumstances, everything going on in the world right now, that the least of anybody's worries is whether or not they were getting the show on Sunday or Monday. But I very much appreciate anybody who's listening today. And I want to shout out that stream one more time because Kayla, her Twitch channel is just search The Sheenom. And if you search The Sheenom, you should find her page. And there's a link right there to donate. And any donation goes to the Minnesota Freedom Fund or also is going to be, like, just in general, they've taken suggestions for other organizations and people that they can give this money to. And it is obviously being used to help people who are out, you know, peacefully protesting and stuff, who may have, you know, been arrested or something, or, you know, things out there in the streets are crazy right now. And there's a lot of people who are good people who aren't doing anything wrong that need our help, need our money and our support. And you can go over there and you can still donate. All that money will go to a good cause. And I believe that that link's going to be up for the next week or so. So definitely go check that out. And once again, that's why the show is happening a day later than it normally does. But I figured, like I said, you know, pretty darn good reason. And I was supporting my friends yesterday and what they were doing. So that's where we're at. I'll just briefly say this. Obviously, we're in crazy times right now. I mean, between the coronavirus and everything else that's happened in 2020, the death of Kobe Bryant, just yesterday, the death of independent wrestling star Danny Havoc, mainly known, at least I mainly knew him from his run in CZW, a guy that I've just an overwhelming amount of positive support and stuff is just an overflowing my timeline of so many people talking about how great of a guy Danny Havoc was. So, you know, shout out to him and his loved ones and everybody. Like, it's just, I'm thinking about everyone right now, about, you know, the families of Kobe Bryant, the family of Danny Havoc, the people affected by the coronavirus. I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's other deaths, there's other tragedies, there's just been crazy stuff going on in the world. And then to pile on to all of that, now what's going on with the death of George Floyd at the hands of, you know, basically the hands of the Minnesota Police Department. Just terrible stuff. I fully understand people going out and protesting and making their voices heard. I hate seeing the rioting and the looting and the people being affected by this that aren't a part of the problem. A lot of these mom and pop small business owners who their livelihoods are being destroyed by people who are outraged. And I know that that's a very small percentage of those people. Like, there's a lot of people out there in the streets making their voices heard and protesting and doing it in the right way. And then there's a small percentage of people out there looting and vandalizing and causing crimes and chaos and stuff. But, you know, there's also, I heard some people talking about it on the news the other night, like, there's also a small percentage of the police department that's going out there and just killing black people when they shouldn't be. And so it's just a crazy time that we're in right now. I was just thinking about it before I started recording, and I hadn't even really thought about it, to be completely honest, until just now. I think I have more black friends than I do of any other race. I really do. My best friend in Nashville is black. Most of my friends here in Atlanta are black. My next door neighbor growing up in Atlanta was black. So many people that I'm close with, most of my best friends are African American, and I've known firsthand some of the things that they deal with, but I've never seen something like this before. I've seen things similar to this before, but nothing like this. And it was really eye-opening, even to me. Like I said, I don't even think I don't even think about it because they're just my friends. But when I really break it down and, you know, I think about it even to another level where it's like, well, they're not just my friends. They're my black friends. And this is a black situation happening right now. The African American people are not being treated the same as every other race. And I just do not think that a white man in the same situation as George Floyd would have been killed just in cold blood out there in front of all these people. I just honestly don't think it would have happened to anyone other than a black person. I just don't know what else to say. I don't know how they feel because I am not African American. I'm very much white, you know, but I'm frustrated even as just a white person seeing this stuff. I cannot imagine what it would be like to be a black person going through this right now. And like I said, a lot of my best friends, like, this is their chance to go out there and really have their voices heard. And hopefully nothing like this continues to happen. I am somebody who very much believes that everybody's life matters. I think that all lives matter, 100%. Everybody matters. But we all can't matter until black lives matter. It's impossible. Without the black lives, not that, you know what I mean? It can't be all lives without the black lives. And they have to be treated the same as the rest of us. And that's all I'll say there. I'll leave it at that. Just a really bad situation. And it really sucks, too, it sucks that it would have happened anywhere, but, you know, I hold Minnesota dear and dear to my heart. I'm a lifelong Vikings fan. The reason that I'm a lifelong Vikings fan is because the majority of my dad's side of the family is from Minnesota, North Dakota, Wisconsin, those areas up there. And I've been to Minnesota many times. I've been to the Mall of America many times. I've been to the old Metrodome many times. I've been up there and watched Vikings games and Twins games. And I have a love for the city and to see the way that their police department has handled this stuff it's shocking. So all I can really say is my thoughts are out there to anybody who's been affected by all this, which honestly has really been all of us to some degree. And all I can really hope for is that a positive change happens and that everybody going forward is treated the same. That all being said, let's talk about some professional wrestling. This is my list of topics for this episode of The Weekender. So I've got my recommended IWTV show. I've got some free recommended YouTube matches to talk about. We got results for 205 Live and Impact Wrestling. We also have new YouTube content to talk about on the National Wrestling Alliance YouTube channel. And I will give you a recap of the latest Being the Elite episode titled Stadium Stampede. So, jumping right into it. My recommended show this week on independentwrestling.tv is the C4 Wrestling Mixtape Volume 8. So I've recommended a C4 mixtape in the past. The company is called C4. It's spelled C, like the third letter of the alphabet. Then there's an asterisk in the middle, and then the number 4. So it's just like three characters there. C, asterisk, 4. And this is Mixtape Volume 8. Obviously, mixtapes 1 through 7 are also available on IWTV. I've chosen Mixtape 8 for 1, because it's the most recent one available, and 2, I really like the match lineup. So these are the matches to expect if you want to check this show out on IWTV. We have a C4 Tag Team title match, Tabernacle Team, which consists of Matthew St. Jacques and Thomas Dubois, versus Team Tremendous, which of course consists of Bill Carr and Dan Barry. This happened at the show The Warriors from May of 2014. We have Kobe Durst and The Butcher and the Blade taking on Anthony Green, Eli Everfly, and Matt Angel. That happened from the show The Filth and the Fury from May of 2019. We've got Kevin Steen and El Generico versus the Super Smash Bros, who of course is Evil Uno and Stu Grayson, very well known now as a part of the Dark Order in AEW. This match was from the show Rise Above from October of 2008. That's an old one. We had Private Party, of course Isaiah Cassidy and Mark Quinn, who very well known now in AEW. Same with Butcher and the Blade, by the way, of course, part of AEW. I didn't mention that. They took on Fight or Flight, and this happened from the show The Departed from March of 2018. We've got Kevin Steen and Mike Bailey taking on the American Wolves, which is the team of Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards. This happened from the show Cross the Line. This was Cross the Line 4, I believe. This was from June of 2011. Then the last match we've got here is another C4 tag team title match where Tabernacle team takes on the After Party, which is the team of Cecil Nix and Chaz Lovely that happened from the show Crossing the Line in June of 2014. So as you can tell from this lineup, a lot of very well-known performers and some that you may not know very well. And that's a big reason why I chose this. So like right off the bat, a name that pops out here, Kobe Durst. He's somebody who I have watched mainly in Black Label Pro Wrestling. He reminds me of like a really young Chris Jericho, but like way crazier with what he does in the ring. Very entertaining guy. Still has a ton of untapped potential. Like, he's very talented, very entertaining, as it is. But he's the kind of guy that you can tell there are more levels for him to get to. And when he gets to those levels, he is going to break out as a massive star. Really, really high on Kobe Durst. Kevin Steen and El Generico versus Super Smash Bros. Of all the matches on this show, this is the one that I probably recommend people check out the most. You know, this is from all the way back in 2008, which is just so crazy. It's been that long. And it's even crazier to think that it took the Super Smash Bros. That long to make it onto, you know, national television with AEW. For those people out there that might just think that, you know, Evil Uno and Stu Grayson were just, like, thrown together and they started this whole Dark Order thing. The Dark Order thing, yeah, that was new. But the Super Smash Bros. Team had been around on the indies for a really long time, have a lot of really, really great matches. And, of course, Kevin Steen, now known as Kevin Owens, and El Generico, now known as Sami Zayn, both currently under contract to the WWE, and one of my favorite tag teams on the indies of all time, Generico and Steen. So really, really great stuff. And speaking of Kevin Steen, him teaming with Mike Bailey against the American Wolves on this show, Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards, those are both two guys where, like, Eddie Edwards actually wound up having the longer, I guess, really more successful career when you really look at it, whereas Davey Richards, in my opinion, I always thought that Davey Richards was going to be that guy. He, of course, both of them wound up being ROH World Champions. Eddie Edwards eventually became the TNA Heavyweight Champion. I think he may have won it more than once even, I can't remember. But Davey Richards, I have to give him a ton of credit because he was one of the guys where, like, I was aware of independent wrestling, and there was, like, the whole wave when I first really started getting into it, where it was, like, Trent Acid and Paul London and Amazing Red and AJ Styles and, like, that group of guys. And then a few years later, what really sucked me back into it, because, you know, you also have, like, Brian Danielson and CM Punk and Chris Hero. I mean, the list goes on and on of the people I was talking about. But I kind of dropped out of it a little bit a few years later. And then what really got me back into indie wrestling, like, hardcore, was Davey Richards' feud against Tyler Black, who's now known as Seth Rollins in the WWE. They had some matches for Ring of Honor that completely blew my mind to the point where I was like, I am never missing a Tyler Black match or a Davey Richards match. If I could ever control that, I will always check these guys' matches out. Obviously, over the years, that's changed a bit. Davey Richards, I never really see compete anymore. I don't know if he's, like, retired. I believe I saw something about him being, like, a paramedic or something recently. I think he's even married to Angelina Love, I think. But yeah, and then Eddie Edwards, you know, he's still in Impact Wrestling. He was supposed to get a world title shot against Tessa Blanchard in a three-way with Michael Elgin recently, but that obviously got scrapped because of the situation with the coronavirus. So Eddie Edwards still very much a big part of Impact Wrestling, but Davey Richards, just really not 100% sure what happened there. But he was one of the most promising, one of the best in-ring workers really that I'd really ever seen for, like, the amount of time he worked in the matches that I saw of his. I mean, he reminded me so much of Chris Benoit in the ring. Obviously, I'm not making those comparisons as a human being, because what Chris Benoit did at that in his life is unacceptable, obviously. But in the ring, Davey Richards reminded me so much of Chris Benoit, and that was a good thing. So yeah, but it's great. If somehow you haven't seen the American Wolves wrestle, this is a great match to check out. And then, yeah, I'll also highlight here Private Party, Isaiah Cassidy and Mark Quinn. This was only back in, 2018, so not too long ago. But Private Party really rose through the ranks and made a name for themselves just very, very, very quickly. And they are an example of talent over tenure. Something that MJF talks about in his heel promos every now and then, which I actually agree with, talent over tenure. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing something. If there's somebody who's been doing it for a shorter amount of time, but they're better than you at it, they got to be the ones you got to give those opportunities to, I think, in most situations. And Private Party is how I feel about them with, like, AEW. Because there's a lot of teams, even teams on this show that I'm talking about, on this mixtape, that have been around much longer than Private Party. But Private Party, they check the right boxes for AEW. Like, they're a high-flying team, they're young, they're fresh, they can have interesting matchups with a lot of different tag teams. Their match against the Young Bucks in the AEW Tag Team Title Tournament was fantastic. It was probably the best match I've seen Private Party have. I still think Private Party's a little bit, I don't know if green is the right word, but I have seen some instances recently where their stuff really wasn't working too well, like some botches here and there that you really don't want to see, especially at the AEW level. But they're so good and they have so much potential still that, like, those things will stop happening. They will continue to get better, and they're already, like I said, very, very good. So, yeah, once again, this was the C4 Wrestling Mixtape Volume 8, and I recommend you check it out on independentwrestling.tv. As far as more recommendations for y'all, I have two free YouTube matches you can check out. The first one is on Ring of Honor's YouTube channel, and it is Kyle O'Reilly versus Jonathan Gresham. And it's from the Top Prospect Tournament in 2011. So I've been picking a lot of the Top Prospect Tournament matches lately to highlight, because I think it's just a lot of fun to go back and watch kind of where these people started. Obviously, to get into Ring of Honor, you had to have done a little bit of work outside of it, to even get that opportunity. But for most people, the first real taste they got of a lot of these performers was through the Ring of Honor Top Prospect Tournaments. And Kyle O'Reilly, I've said it before and I'll say it again, he could be main eventing as a singles wrestler in any promotion right now, whether it's NXT, WWE, AEW, Impact, New Japan, you name the company. I don't care which one you name. Kyle O'Reilly is good enough to main event anywhere. He is so good. And Jonathan Gresham, I have been saying for the longest time, and those of you who listen to The Weekender on a regular basis, you've probably heard me say this more than anything on this podcast. Jonathan Gresham is my favorite Ring of Honor performer, and I think he should be the Ring of Honor World Champion. And I especially wanted to put a Jonathan Gresham match out there as a recommendation because, once again, we are going through the situation, people of color, Black Lives Matter, all that stuff going on right now. I wanted to highlight an African-American wrestler here. And Jonathan Gresham, I think, is not only one of the best African-American wrestlers in the world right now, he's just one of the best wrestlers in the world, period. So him and Kyle O'Reilly, getting to watch them back in 2011, really cool stuff. So I'd recommend checking that out. And Ring of Honor didn't have anything new to really talk about this week, so I wanted to make sure to highlight a Ring of Honor match, because normally I'm giving results for Ring of Honor, but since they're just doing, like, best-of shows right now during all the craziness going on in the world, at least this way you can still go out and support Ring of Honor by checking out this match. I also want to give another match recommendation. This is from Beyond Wrestling, and it's free on Beyond Wrestling's YouTube channel. You can also find it on IWTV, but like I said, for free on YouTube from Beyond Wrestling, I recommend checking out Joey Janela, who has Penelope Ford in his corner, taking on Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. This happened in 2018. And yeah, I just recommend checking this out, mainly because, Joey Janela, for those of you who have only seen him in AEW, to be honest, they've represented him pretty well on AEW. He loses much more often on AEW than he did on the indies. But seeing him paired with Penelope Ford, I thought that they were such a great team together. Like, I prefer Janela and Ford over Ford and Sabian, but obviously, like, that's real-life situations. And then Hot Sauce Tracy Williams is somebody that I think is just overlooked constantly. He is one of my favorite independent wrestlers in the world. He's done great stuff with, like, Ring of Honor, and he was, he's a former IWTV heavyweight champion and stuff like that. But as far as, like, mainstream goes, he's never really got a shot in, like, Impact or AEW or of course, you know, WWE, NXT, nothing like that. So, Tracy Williams, I wanted to throw out there on this one, too, because him and Janela, for one, it's a great match, but for two, for those of you who may not be familiar with Tracy Williams for whatever reason, please go out and check his matches out. He's a phenomenal talent, and he's somebody that I've gotten the opportunity to see live. Him and Joey Janela, I've gotten the opportunity to see live a few times, and they always bring it. So that's my other recommended match for this week to check out for free on Beyond Wrestling's YouTube channel. It's Joey Janela taking on Tracy Williams. Moving on to some results, we're going to start off with 205 Live this week. Just two matches, quick stuff. Started off with Tony Nese defeating Tyler Breeze. Got the win with his running Nese. It's good to see Nese get the win because he looked terrible in the interim Cruiserweight title tournament. Obviously, that's not his fault. Like, his matches weren't bad, but he went 0-3 in the tournament. So, big win for Nese, you know, getting back in the win column over Tyler Breeze. And Tyler Breeze is just kind of in, he's in a very strange situation. Like, I don't see him winning the Cruiserweight title anytime soon. I don't see him really doing much on NXT TV. I definitely don't see him doing much on WWE TV. He's honestly somebody that, like, I don't want to see anybody lose their jobs, but he was somebody that I was actually really surprised was not a part of the furloughed and fired group, a handful of weeks ago. I was really surprised to see Tyler Breeze keep his job, especially considering some of the people that WWE lost during that. And that's, once again, that's not like I want to see him lose his job. It's not like I dislike Tyler Breeze. I actually think he's pretty darn entertaining as a performer. But considering the spot he's in, just kind of in, like, no man's land on every brand right now. So, really great win for Nese, but really bad loss for Breeze in this one. The only other match that we had on this show was Tahuti Miles defeating Danny Burch. He got the win with a surprise roll-up, so good to see him get the win. Danny Burch can afford to lose these matches. He's basically, he's just a solid performer. Like, Danny Burch, you're always going to get a good match, no botches. Like, just solid wrestling. If he wins, it's credible. If he loses, it's no big deal. Miles really needed the win, and it was good to see him get it. So, no problems there. But since we're talking about 205 Live, it is definitely worth giving an update on the interim NXT Cruiserweight Championship Tournament. So, basically what wound up happening, since we talked about this last, is we had El Fantasma was already... El Hijo del Fantasma, a.k.a. Fantasma, was already in. But Drake Maverick just defeated Kushida and Jake Atlas in a triple threat match on NXT TV. And he won the match. So Drake Maverick is going to be wrestling Fantasma to determine the next, you know, the new interim NXT Cruiserweight Champion. Of course, I'd imagine the thought process here is they'll use this title until they can get Jordan Devlin, they can get Jordan Devlin from the UK over to the States to defend the title. Obviously, he's stuck there for the time being due to the pandemic. But Maverick, that's a crazy one because, like, one of two things happened. Either he was never really let go from the company, and this was all one big storyline, and it worked because people really rallied behind him after he made that video about about getting fired from the WWE and that he was still going to continue in this tournament. So I don't know if he was really fired or if it was just one big storyline, but either way, it wound up working out great for Drake. I was going to imagine that Fantasma will win this interim belt, but maybe they give it to Maverick. I mean, he's got a lot of momentum right now, so it's going to be really interesting to see how this all plays out. But that is the finals. We're going to have Drake Maverick taking on Fantasma, so we'll see how that goes. Moving on, we've got results for Impact Wrestling. Starts off with Ace Austin defeating Hernandez. This was a semifinal match for the World Title Number One Contender Tournament. The finish happened after Ace Austin hit a reverse DDT and then his finisher, the fold, to get the 1-2-3. I'm all about that. I like Hernandez, but I like Ace Austin more at the moment. I think that Ace Austin is the right guy. He had a great X Division title run. Him winning the ladder match to win the title, ladder match, was a lot of fun. And Ace Austin is just somebody who's incredibly talented, so it's not surprising to see him make it to the finals for the number one contender for the world championship. As a matter of fact, I somewhat expected him to be in this mix, because for those of you who've been listening to the Weekender consistently, I was calling for Willie Mack to win the X Division title for a while. I want to win the world title, but I'll take the X Division title for the time being, for sure. And I was saying, before he won the belt, I was like, I made it clear, I want Willie Mack to win the title, but if Willie Mack wins, there has to be a situation where Ace Austin gets elevated to the main event, because Austin, like I said, great X Division run, he totally deserves it. Like, he totally deserves to be in the world title mix, and he deserves to be pushed as a top star for Impact Wrestling, in my opinion. So if he was going to lose that belt, the consolation needed to be him getting on some sort of roll and getting into the world title mix, and that's exactly what's happened. So I'm very happy about that. Very, very smart booking, in my opinion, from Impact Wrestling. After that, Chris Bay defeats Cousin Jake. I was calling him Cousin Drake because we were just talking about Drake Maverick. Cousin Jake, who I know better as Jake something from the independent scene, most specifically from Glory Pro Wrestling in the St. Louis area. Very big fan of his. The finish came when Chris Bay hit a springboard codebreaker into a spinning kick. Get the 1-2-3. Chris Bay, super talented guy. I'm happy to see him get this win. But I would really like to see them push Cousin Jake. Whether they drop, like, the cousin gimmick, because he's, you know, with Cody Deaner. But if they kind of drop the Cousin Jake thing and, like, let him kind of do his own thing, whether it was Jake something or anything else, just a little bit different, where he could really be more of himself, I think that he would really benefit from him, because he's got the look, he's got the size, he's got the in-ring ability. He checks, like, all the boxes Impact would need. Like, Jake something is what I'll call him. I really think that he could be a big star for Impact, so I hope to see him climb those ranks sooner than later. Up next, Kimberly defeated Havoc by DQ. Nevaeh interfered to cause a disqualification. Cool to see Kimberly as a part of the show, though. I mean, she's been on the indies for, I mean, I couldn't even tell you how long. So long. The last match we had on the show, the main event, Trey defeated Michael Elgin to advance to the finals of the number one contender tournament. The finish came when Sami Callihan basically makes the lights go out as Elgin's going for the buckle bomb, and then Trey gets the jackknife cover for the kind of the out-of-nowhere win. The match was really good up to this point also, and I'm totally fine with Trey winning, because Trey versus Ace Austin is going to be insane. That's going to be such a great match. I'm all about that. Kind of strange, because this kind of leans more towards, like, the X Division, is what you would kind of expect these two to be fighting for, but I don't have a problem with it at all. And I'd prefer to see Michael Elgin get the win, but clearly they're building Elgin versus Sami Callihan, so that'll be a big feud for Elgin. It'll be a big match to keep Callihan in the mix towards, you know, the upper part of the card. And it gives Trey the opportunity to go out there with Ace Austin and just tear the house down, with the winner getting an eventual shot at the world title. So I'm all about it. I think it's great. This is honestly one of the best booked episodes of Impact Wrestling since I have done the Weekender. And I've been doing the Weekender now for like a year and a half. I have no issues with who won and lost these matches. I have no issues with any of the talent that was involved. It wasn't full of former ECW people and full of former out of their prime stars. This was exactly what I want out of an Impact show. There were some people missing off the show that I would have liked to see on it, but considering that they only have, you know, a couple hours a week to get their people out there on TV, this was a great use of that time. It continued to build storylines, and the right people are getting pushes right now. I do not think that anyone from Impact Wrestling is listening to this show, but what I do like knowing is a lot of the stuff that I'm saying and complaining about on this show is being fixed, it looks like. So you know, and also keep in mind, there's only so many people you can get to because there are people missing these tapings and shows because of the pandemic still. Most notably, Tessa Blanchard has been off, so who, of course, is the Impact World Champion. So that's that for Impact this week. Two thumbs up for me. No complaints this week on Impact Wrestling. Moving on, NWA. There was not a new episode of Power available yet, so I'm just going to tell you about the new stuff on their YouTube channel if you want to check it out since the last time that we were here. We have episode 2 of Carnyland. We have a new episode of Inside the NWA, which includes Eddie Kingston and Homicide, a.k.a. the Outlaws, or Outlaws, Inc., I should say. We have a very touching 2-minute or so long video of Aaron Stevens paying tribute to the late Shad Gaspard. So that was very nice. I know I've said it plenty of times on the show. I'm not a fan of Aaron Stevens as a professional wrestler. He does nothing for me. I don't like the gimmick. I don't like his in-ring work particularly or anything like that. But as a human being, this was a very nice tribute he pays to his old friend Shad Gaspard. So definitely would recommend checking that out. We have episode 2 of the Eli Drake Show. And we also have a Girl Power episode. And it is about cyberbullying and mental health. And this is coming off the heels, of course, of Hana Kimura and her suicide. So that's all the new stuff you can check out on the NWA YouTube channel. Wanted to give them a shout-out this week and let people know what to expect if you want to, you know, support the NWA right now. Because obviously there was no new show from like an in-ring perspective, but they are continuing to pump out quality content on their YouTube channel. So you should check that out if you're a fan of NWA or if you just want to get more educated on the product. All right, last thing we've got this week is a recap of the latest Being the Elite episode. It is titled Stadium Stampede. It's a long episode, so I'm probably going to miss some stuff here, but I'm going to highlight the stuff that I think was most important. Show starts off with the Young Bucks wearing awful gear. They're wearing, I can't even do it justice, they're wearing these like weird multicolored, it almost looks like the old Jeff Jarrett with like the cutout straps all over his chest thing. I don't even know what you call it. One of them had a Flavor Flav looking claw hang from his neck, and they're sitting there like, so you think this looks good? Like, they're complaining about whoever has written them to look like this. And it's a direct jab at FTR talking about how WWE Creative wanted them to look like that. So I thought that was really funny to open up the show. Up next, we see Christopher Daniels talking to Kaz, says he chooses him to win the casino ladder match. And then he says the same thing about Scorpio Sky once he walks up. Some of this stuff was filmed prior to Double or Nothing. Some of it was filmed during Double or Nothing, and some of it was filmed after Double or Nothing. So the timelines are kind of all over the place for this. But like I said, Christopher Daniels chooses Kaz and Sky to both win the match, and they basically want Daniels to choose between them. We see Kenny Omega on FaceTime with Colt Cabana. They're arguing about stuff. You realize that Colt is actually in Kenny's hotel bathroom, and Kenny runs in to attack him, and Colt jumps into the shower, and Kenny, like, closes the curtain, then opens it, and he's like, where'd he go? And you can tell that Colt's still staying there, because you can still see his arm, but, like, the idea was that he went in there, and that Colt, like, disappeared out of the bathroom when he went to go get him. Kenny Omega can be incredibly hit or miss for me on segments like this. In ring, I think he's one of the best in ring workers in the world. But his facial expressions and his tone of voice and the things that he says and stuff, sometimes it's just really, really, really goofy to me, and that's how this came off this week. Which I know that's what he's going for. I just don't think it's that funny. But there's some weeks where Kenny has me rolling. Like, there's some weeks where he is on and I am laughing my ass off. So this just wasn't one of those weeks, but they are continuing the Kenny Omega trying to keep Colt Cabana off of Being the Elite stuff, which I do think is funny. After that, there's more of Kaz and Scorpio wanting Christopher Daniels to choose between them. They are standing in the hallway of the hotel room where Christopher Daniels is staying, and Daniels just kind of like slowly closes the door on them as he's talking to him. So, of course, he doesn't choose between the two. Up next, we saw one of my favorite segments ever on Being the Elite. And we have to keep in mind, I've seen every episode of Being the Elite, right? You know, over 200 episodes of this stuff. This was one of my favorite segments ever. And it is the Funeral of Vanguard 1. I cannot do this segment justice. You just need to go out of your way to watch this. Some of the highlights were, you know, the Young Bucks are talking up in front of everybody. And obviously, this is once again the Funeral of Vanguard 1, the drone of Matt Hardy. Young Bucks are talking about how they believe in Jesus and like the Christian and all this stuff. And Cody's in the crowd making little remarks about being atheist. Kaz thinks the funeral is the drizzling shits. And he eventually gets kicked out of it for complaining about it. My favorite line of the whole thing was Matt Jackson is talking to Cody and about being like disrespectful or something during the funeral. And Cody leans in and he's like, look at what you're wearing, fucking Tommy Bahama. Because Matt Jackson's wearing like this like beach style tank top to a funeral, which I just thought was hilarious. And Cody talking about being an atheist, like, I was literally, not that there's nothing wrong with atheism, in my opinion. I think you can believe whatever you want to believe. Atheism, if you're agnostic, if you're Jewish, Christian, whatever it is, doesn't matter to me. Everyone can have their own views and beliefs. Does not bother me at all. I just thought it was funny how Cody was talking about atheism, like, during this thing. It was just really funny. Then we see Hangman, who's, you know, drunk during this thing. He gets up to do a toast with everybody because he thinks it's a wedding. So that's Hangman for you. Matt Hardy introduces Neo, which is his new drone, which we've seen on AEW TV at this point, and it stands for Nature's Electronic Organism. So those are just a few of the highlights from that funeral, but I highly, highly, highly recommend checking out that segment. If you don't watch the whole episode of Being the Elite, if you watch anything, you got to watch this funeral. It was so, so funny. After that, we have a segment where Brandon Cutler is talking about it being a year anniversary since he signed his AEW contract. And then he basically just talks about how he feels like he let everyone down and has not lived up to his expectations because he's losing. He hasn't won a match in AEW. And he was the first person to ever walk out for a match on AEW television of any kind. So you can tell Cutler's taking it really, really hard where he's at right now. But I do expect him at some point to join the Dark Order. I think he would be a perfect fit for them. But we'll see if that happens. After that, we get another one of these private party cinematic type segments. I don't really know what to call them. They're like mini movies. Eventually, there's a backyard ladder match type fight between Private Party and that creepy dude who's been like stalking them. He looks like Pentagon, and he does an arm break, like how Pentagon does in his matches, and most notably how he would do it in Lucha Underground, break people's arms. I don't think that is Pentagon, but his face paint looks like it, and the moves he was doing look similar, but I don't think it was him. I wasn't looking like super closely to see like the tattoos or anything that would have matched, but I'm fairly confident it is not the same guy, but regardless, the whole Private Party thing is just very strange. I honestly am not entertained by it really at all. I don't think it's very good, and I don't think that the payoff could possibly be as good as the build-up has been for this thing. And once again, the build-up I don't think has been good, but given the amount of build-up, I just don't see any kind of payoff really that's going to be any good either. The segment ends after, like, they win the fight, Private Party, that is, they win the fight, and they are wanting to drive away, and the teddy bear that they've been showing, you know, the teddy bear, like, beat them up in some wrestling matches in a bedroom, and I believe blew them up or something. It's very strange, it's very weird, and like I said, it honestly is not very entertaining, in my opinion, but the teddy bear is driving the car, so to be continued still on that. After that, Jurassic Express is all talking together. We have Luchasaurus, Marco Stunt, and Jungle Boy sitting there in the hallway. Lucha talks about how losing his tail was actually just a metaphor, and it was because he missed Marco and Jungle Boy, but now they're all back together. So it looks like Luchasaurus. I almost said Lucha House Party. It looks like Jurassic Express is back together now. They're at their full force, all three members reunited. So good stuff. And I think there's still more that they're going to do with that, because there's still some little storyline aspects of that whole Luchasaurus losing his tail story that's been going on for the last few weeks that are still kind of left unsolved. So we'll see where that all heads. After that, another incredible segment. This was one of my favorite endings to a Being the Elite episode ever. The Young Bucks and Hangman are in a hotel room. Looks like they're all finally on the same page again. And they're huddled up, the three of them, trying to figure out how to get their edge back. They feel like something's missing. They don't know what it is. And Matt's like, yeah, just if someone just walked through that door right now and just, you know, change the game for us, basically, and blah, blah, blah. And Marty Scurll walks in. And we haven't seen Marty on Being the Elite for a long time. And Marty walks in, and he's just kind of standing there next to him, and they're all huddled up and not paying attention. And Marty's just standing there, kind of like half smiling, standing there, and he goes, "I'm back, baby!" And nothing happens. It was so funny. Like, he's just standing there, and then you hear, I don't remember who says what, but you hear them saying, like, "Just leave the steak over there, you Mark," and British waitress, shut up. Like, they think he's a British waitress. They don't even look at him. They don't even know Marty was there. And then Marty leaves the room, and Brandon Cutler, who's on the camera, he's like, "You idiots!" Like, it's like a Dumb and Dumber type moment. Like, "Do you realize what you've done?" You know, and they catch him to the bus, and, you know, "The town is back that way." You know, it's like one of those moments where Brandon Cutler is like, "Do you realize what you've done? You didn't leave a tip." And they're all like, "Oh no, we can't. Our reputation's on the line. We gotta go give this waiter a tip." And that's how the episode ends. So, really great stuff. Incredible episode of Being the Elite, and especially highlighted by the funeral of Vanguard 1, as well as the ending there where Marty Scurll finally showed back up on Being the Elite. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens going forward. That's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. You can make sure to follow me on Twitter at @FightTalk_, that's FIGHTTALK_. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.